Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison, your host, and as you all know, I own the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. Jamison Realty works with buyers and sellers. Jamison Property Management, we manage homes and rental investments for individual investors. And Jamison Property Investments, if you're interested in investing in real estate, that is what is there, as well as our book, which is Opportunity is Knocking, which is available to you. If you're interested in investing in real estate, you can reach out or go to pauljamison.com or Amazon Prime and order the book. If you go to pauljamison.com, the book comes signed directly to you from me. All right. I've got Sandy Dickinson on the line with Cross Country Mortgage. She'll be doing our mortgage update in just a moment. Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Paul.
I got back what I dished out, didn't I?
Yep.
Well, we've all been talking beforehand, so it's like, you know, I'm saying hey for the second time today. I also got TJ on the board with me today, the famous TJ, who is also the host and food critic on Tuesdays and Thursdays, along with Mark Garrison, and funniest show around. 6:30, right, TJ? 6:35. Tuesdays, Thursdays. Fun stuff. And I tend to bring in culinary things for them to try. So far, I have not brought in anything that has made them throw up, so I do not get on their naughty list. And I do not have a food rating score, cleanliness score. I heard the other day, I mean, I don't know how these people are still in business, some of these people. Do you?
It's bad. Some of it's really bad.
You know, like, they're like putting stuff where food is prepared and just like, ugh.
People are gross.
I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. I digress. That's not about real estate, but yeah. I just have to comment. Anyway. All right. So what did I learn this week? Well, this was a full week. And unfortunately, and fortunately, I have Preston Sandlin with Home Inspection Carolina coming on with me after the first segment. And Preston, not only is he owner of the largest, most reputable home inspection company that I know of, he also is a real estate investor and is around real estate all day long. And he's probably going to have a field day with my subject. So I can't really give you too much information other than I just went through an experience with a client on their home. It happens all the time, so I'm not. It's not like I'm, you know, oh, it's my first time. It's like my 10,000th time, where we put a home on the market, and we had multiple offers. Oh, surprise, surprise. We had a lot of them, so much so I had a spreadsheet. So I learn some things every time I do this, and I just need to tell you, COVID did some very interesting things, and Preston is going to be around when I talk about a lot of these things, and I can't speak for your industry, Sandy, or yours, Preston, but COVID took the real estate profession and put it online. Back when I got my license, we sat in a room on the weekends for I can't remember how many months, because back then you were a salesperson first. The room was taught by Bill Gallagher, one of my dear friends, and I kind of look back and envision it kind of like the days when I was in high school where there was like no AC in the room and it was hot and you had to walk uphill both ways to get to the classroom and, you know, I had all my socks had holes in them, and my clothes were hand-me-downs, and I had only one number two pencil. You know, whatever the case and scenario it is, Sandy's laughing at me, of course. So, which is nothing new. So we sat there and we sweated out. And you got your salesperson's license, and then you had to try to find somebody where you could hang your license. And then you went back to broker class, and you had to get your broker's license, right? Yeah. And it was a pain, right? Then we wanted to be a broker in charge. You had to have enough experience to do that, and then, you know, go sit in Cindy Chandler's class. You know, oh, man, it's just a lot. So anyway, nothing wrong with Cindy Chandler. Like her. But it was a long class. Sorry, Cindy. It still was long. Anyway, now you can do it online. And you can do it at night. You can do it in your underpants. You can do it whenever you want to do it. And you can get your real estate license. Now, I don't know if you can get your mortgage license that way now, Sandy. Can you?
Yes, you can. I think you have to go to take the test in person, but the class is now online.
So what's interesting about all this is during the COVID, we had a lot of people that got their real estate license. Now, the industry is open and welcome, and the North Carolina test, I'm licensed in North and South Carolina, but the North Carolina test is hard. So if you have a language issue, more than likely you're not going to pass it. And it's just plumb hard. So now we have a lot of people who have their real estate license in a market that is not undervalued, but there's no inventory, and they have no clue what they're doing. That was evident this week again when my listing was on the market. Let me give you an example. When you know that I am in multiple offer, and I have a spreadsheet, because I'm not going to divulge how many offers or anything about those offers. When you make an offer on behalf of your client, not only do you have to fill in the seller's name on the contract, which is important, you kind of got to make an offer that makes sense. You don't make an offer $50,000 below asking price and offer $250 as a non-refundable deposit. You have just wasted everyone's time. So, today's show, along with Preston, along with the different things he's going to talk about around his 10 most common defects, you know, will be, and not my most common defects, a home's most common defects, my list is much longer, is that we're going to talk about what we learned in that multiple offer situation, and Preston, you will have fun, my friend. But in the meantime, Sandy's going to have fun, because she's going to give the mortgage update.
Okay, well, it's kind of a quiet time right now. Rates have trickled up just a tad over the last week, but not significant. The Fed is now meeting in Jackson Hole virtually, and they're going to talk about inflation and tapering. And I did go back and kind of look at the history of, like, in the 1960s and 70s.
Wait a minute, Sandy, how do they meet virtually in Jackson Hole?
There must be one person in Jackson Hole monitoring the Zoom.
Okay. I'm just curious. I was just curious because to me, do they all like each get a room in Jackson Hole and then talk to each other on the computer and then see each other at the bar after?
It's very tricky.
Okay.
Governmentally tricky.
I was just checking. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to make sure
That's
I clarified. Okay.
But back in Truman and Nixon and Jimmy Carter days, there was a lot of initiation of social programs, and there was a lot of inflation, and they were talking about raising minimum wage and infusing a lot of money into the economy. And it kind of feels the same way right now. So the government is saying, or the Powell, Chairman Powell is saying, that it's transitory well, transitory means not permanent. It probably wasn't permanent back then either, but it sure did hurt.
Wow.
So they're saying 5% isn't a horrible inflation with having to reopen the economy, but I just have fears around some of the government policies and the money that they're spending, that it looks a lot like what happened back then. So right now, rates are pretty steady. They're probably going to have to raise them at some point. They're saying now 2023. I think it might be sooner.
All right. So they should lock now.
They should lock now and buy now and refi now.
That's right. How do they get in touch with us, Sandy?
704-577-0144.
704-577-0144. Sandy Dickinson, Cross Country Mortgage. Thank you, Sandy. More to come with the Show Your Real Estate Today. Preston Sandlin, Paul Jamison, we're talking. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome from
our virtual Hawaiian
meeting. So if you were listening to the first segment, Sandy's talking about being of some kind of virtual meeting from, where was it?
The Fed was on a virtual meeting.
Yeah, virtual meeting in, you know, out west somewhere. And so we're like, how do they do a virtual meeting there? So we decided we would do TJ helped us. We're going to do this is virtually from Hawaii, even though we're not there. We're acting like
we're just virtually there.
We're virtually there. That's right. I'm clicking my heels together, you know.
There you go.
Thanks, TJ, for that bit of fun there. All right. For those that are just tuning in, this is a show about real estate. So we're going to get back to that. I'm Paul Jamison, your host, owner of the Jamison Companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. Here with my good friend Preston Sandlin, owner of Home Inspection Carolina. He and his wife Meg have been working with me and on the air with me now for 13 years.
Wow.
Preston, 13.
Wow.
That's a long time, man.
That is. That's
we had more hair back then.
But my hair wasn't gray.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to talk today about Preston's 10 most common home defects. But we're going to intersperse that with, as I teased in the first part of the show, about, you know, this past weekend, of course, the home went under contract. We had a multiple offer situation on a home. Again, it happens to us all the time. But there's some things as a seller and a buyer we're going to talk to you about. Whether we're your agent or we're not your agent should be communicating with you about these things. And, you know, a couple of the things, although they are somewhat common sense, Preston, you'd think that those that have experience, and the reason I talked about the real estate school stuff is you need to work with somebody that has experience in dealing with this market. Now,
absolutely.
My pen just fell apart. I have been in this market a long time, and when I first started in the business, I leaned on some people to help me so that I could learn. So everybody's new, even like new home inspectors, right? You put them with somebody that has experience so they can learn what to do, what to say, how to react, how to stay out of jail.
You teach shorten their learning curve, too.
Train them. You know, you do those things. So if you've got a new agent that you're working with, everybody's got new at one point, right? It's what they're doing that gives that level of comfort. Like, for example, you see out there a lot of listings coming on the market that are coming soon. Coming soon means it's coming soon. That means you can't see it. You can't look at it. You can't get in it. You cannot show it until it's no longer what's called coming soon. But coming soon gives you the chance to go, that's something I really want to take a look at. And in some cases, that's something I really want to put an offer in on, even though I can't see it, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But Coming soon has been this new thing we didn't used to have before to allow people's palates to be sensitized for what is to come. Right, Preston? Isn't that
like
a good way to say it? Yeah, like sorbet. Yeah,
it's like
the appetizer that has no value because you can't get in it, right? But sometimes agents will put the maximum amount of days for coming soon is 21 days. So they'll put that sucker out there for 21 days with one picture of the front. That kind of delayed gratification is not good for your listing. Not at all. It's like anything. If you're going to do this and you want to create a buzz about your listing, you do it 1 or 2 days prior to putting it on the market.
Yeah.
If you put it out there too long, that delayed gratification will hurt your listing. Right?
I agree.
Yeah. Now, there are times where people will write offers on coming soon listings. I have done it before for investment property. But I tell you, when I do it, I know for a fact, I know what I'm doing. And I'm weighing out my risks in that offer. But for the most part, like this weekend, when I've got 12 offers, and I did have multiple offer prior to it being shown, we're not going to accept an offer for something like that, a primary residence, which is what it was going to be, without them actually being able to step foot into the house. It just doesn't make any sense, Preston, for us to do that. Just FYI, the coming soon is good, but I would not do it any longer. And if you're going to do coming soon, do it on like a Thursday or a Friday and then open up the listing on a Saturday at 1 o'clock. That's the proper way to do it. Allow people to schedule their world around it so that they can come to your open house and see it and have the ability to get through the house on a relatively, you know, not first thing in the morning because, you know, they got to take their dad or their mom to Bojangles for a biscuit in the morning first thing and they can't get there. Or they've got to get their kids off to school or they got to feed the dog. Give them a chance in the early afternoon to get there. Don't you think, Preston, it makes sense to think about behavior of buyers to get the most people through it initially you can?
Absolutely. And if you put it out there way too early, people are going to forget about it. I like the Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday-ish,
yeah.
Kind of prefer Friday.
Yeah, condense it. And I think it plays well. You know, it's interesting in your business and in my business, people want us when they're not working.
Right.
So if we think about that psychology, don't you want to have your house first available when people typically aren't working?
You would think I'm sure Saturday and Sunday are the number one days for showing houses.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Sometimes you can release it after 6 o'clock at night, but typically that's a 2.5 hour window. Otherwise you're going into a dark house.
Yeah.
That's not smart. So you've clicked away a full day on the market for 2.5 hours. I like Saturday at 1 o'clock. Some people like Saturday at 11 o'clock. That's when they quit serving breakfast at McDonald's so that, you know, that 10:30 to 11, they have a chance to get there, you know. We think about it around food, right?
That's right. Well, Paul, I'll tell you this. From our business, we schedule the most inspections on Monday and Tuesdays because that corresponds with most people looking at the houses on Saturday and Sunday and coming to an agreement on an offer. But Mondays and Tuesdays are always our biggest inspection scheduling days.
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense, Preston. As a matter of fact, you're doing one. You did, I think, two for me this Monday.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's Paul's out there killing it. I mean, he's the guy. If you're buying, selling, or investment property, I mean, he's the guy.
Our team has just had a rock star. So let's see if before the break, we got about a minute. 15 seconds. Let's start, and then we'll kind of come back and forth with these things we learned on the multiple offer. Give us one of your most common ones.
Yeah, well, this is a list. It was on HGTV that I snagged. It's by Dave Schwartz. I actually know him. Good guy out in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, he's mid and ashy and all that. Good guy. So this is the top 10 list, according to HGTV. And I agree with the top 10 list. I'd probably put them in a different order. Okay. But pretty good stuff.
Okay.
Do you want me to start, like, you want to work it backwards? Or?
Anyone you want.
Well, I tell you, one sticks out right away, and it has to do with stuff you do, Paul. Number six, he's got on this list, whole house is poorly maintained. And we find that a lot when we invest, when we inspect houses that have been rental properties. And then there's a certain cost with having to get it back to where it needs to be. Because, you know, whoever the property manager was at that place, I think, just wasn't keeping it up. But that's not the case with you guys, because I have houses with you, and you keep them up, and, you know, yeah. I won't have this big cost if I ever go to sell it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got more with Preston Sandlin, so much more. The Show Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison, Preston Sandlin with Home Inspection Carolina. We're talking real estate, and it's Saturday, and we're with you. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Hey, it's Paul Jamison, your host here with Preston Sandlin with Home Inspection Carolina. And, of course, we are the owners of the Jamison family of companies, Realty Property Management and Property Investments. We're sharing Saturday afternoon with you. Thank you so much for your time and tuning in with us. So if you are interested in real estate, this is the show for you. And Preston Sandlin has a fantastic inspection company. How many inspectors do you have now, Preston? You got quite a crew.
27.
Yeah, you got quite a crew right now, and you're busy.
Yeah, staying pretty busy. It's real estate, man. It's a great time. It's a great time.
It is, and you know, everyone keeps saying there's not enough homes on the market, thinking enough sellers aren't selling. There aren't enough homes on the market, but just as many sellers are selling as back in 2010, and what's really happening is there's too many buyers.
Yeah,
that's really the issue that we're seeing. So, but after right before the break, you talked about whole house being poorly maintained is something that you come across on an ongoing basis as one of the top things from the most common defects, and you know we see it too. And like you said, when we're taking over a rental property from someone, or, you know, there's a property that was previously a rental that we're purchasing, you know, we're seeing the renters don't treat it nearly as well as some homeowners do, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I know this firsthand, Paul, because before I got you to manage, I had another property that, you know, all of a sudden I was hit with $30,000 worth of repairs. And mainly it was just because it hadn't been really maintained, and that hurt.
Yeah, that tends to do that, yeah.
And I know the ones that you're managing for me, you know, I get texts and stuff all the time. So, you know, I would rather it be maintained along the way so that I'm not hit with, you know, some big surprise,
yep.
You know, at one time. Yep. Well, do you want me to go over some of the other top 10?
I would, yeah. Let's pick a few more.
Sure. Let's go with number seven. This is Dave Schwartz's list out of Arizona, but he's writing for HGTV here. Number seven, poor drainage around the structure. That's one we see quite a bit. You know, the water needs to drain away from the structure. I'm sure you see this, Paul. If you get water up against your foundation, that's bad, because eventually that water will get down beneath your foundation, your footer, so to speak, and if it collapses those air pockets, it's going to drop. And when it drops, it causes cracks, and cracks are bad, and we don't want that.
No.
So the name of the game is, you know, you just got to get that water away from your foundation.
Stop the crack.
In that area, Paul?
Yeah, I see it all the time. And I tell you, we typically see it where it shows up the most is on the left or right side of the house, the side yards around the window. You can see significant cracking as evidence, and it's a kind of a crack at an angle, like a 45, typically.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, and usually, like, when you see that crack on that, say that, like you said, it'll be stair step or whatever from the corner of the window. I can almost bet, like, if you're on the side of the house, you can go around to the other side and find a sister crack. Because yeah. What's happened is that corner has dropped. Probably the downspout, you know, didn't drain away. You know, you love those corrugated pipes or buried, you know, that take that water away. You know, once it comes off the roof, you know, basically your roof's a big funnel
yeah.
of water, and it's going down to this one spot, which is fine, but that's a lot of water, and you need to get it away from the foundation. And if it's not, you know, and that's typically at the corner of the house, and it'll show up because it'll work its way down in there, collapse the air pockets, and that corner will drop, and you'll get those cracks like you're talking about. So keep the water away from your foundation.
Absolutely. What else?
A couple of other problems. He's got his number two, roof problems. Roof problems. I probably go along with that. I mean, there's most houses that we find have some type of roof issue, whether it's nail pops or, you know, a big one actually. We classify this under roof problems, but it's those, you know, those boots, like the plumbing boots, mm-hmm. you know, the plumbing vents that come out of the roof. They have this rubber boot around them, and those things don't last as long as your roof. You know, your roof should last somewhere between 20, 25 years, but those rubber boots typically only last 7 or 8. So that's something you need to check every so often. I'd probably say 1 in 5 houses we check has some cracked rubber boots. And, you know, of course, hail damage. You know, I think there's some websites out there you can check to see if there's been hail damage. You know, I don't recommend you get on your own roof because it's dangerous, but you can get some really good binoculars and take a look at them. The place you can really see if you've had hail damage, Paul, is if you look at some of the metal, like the gutters, or you've got a flue pipe of some type, look at that and see if it's dented, because that's mm-hmm. actually pretty thin sheet metal. And that's where it'll show up first, and then you look down at the granulars. You know, and it all depends. If you've had hail damage, you know, sometimes the insurance will cover a new roof. I'm pretty happy when that happens. but, you know, you don't want to take advantage of the insurance company either because, let's face it, you know, when something like that happens, it costs all of us more than it should.
Exactly.
But something worth checking out. And of course, you know, you can contact us at homeinspectioncarolina.com, and you take some really good, high-quality pictures. You can email them to us, and I'd be happy to give you my opinion on that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times, too, people, Preston, can call you and have you, even if they're not selling or buying, have you come out and go places and check out houses. And it should happen on a, you know, every year or two, have somebody come, because I don't go in the crawl space of my house. I'm not climbing up in there. I'm not looking at the subfloor. I'm not looking at all these things that you guys look at. It's good to know. It's just like going to the doctor for a physical, right?
Right,
things in check to make sure you head things off on that spread of maintenance versus the oh my.
Absolutely. And we got time for one more, Paul?
Yeah, we do.
All right. This is Dave's number one. This wouldn't be my number one. Probably that drainage would be my number one. Mm-hmm. But it would be in my top 10. Faulty wiring.
Uh-oh.
that's bad. As a matter of fact, I got an issue at my own house right now. Every time we created a workout room during COVID, and we got one of those treadmills, and apparently that thing takes a lot of juice. And every time that thing's plugged in and something else is plugged in, it trips the breaker. So I got to get an electrician out here. But, you know, faulty wiring, I don't know if I say faulty wiring, but just electrical issues. A lot of it, Paul, you know, depending on when the house was built. You know, if you were during that time of the Vietnam War era, you know, mid-60s to early 70s, they used a lot of aluminum wiring, which is prone to stretch a little bit. And when it stretches beyond the connections, then when you turn it on, it sparks. And it can cause, you know, a lot like if you ever jumped off a car and when you connected that last wire to complete the circuit. Remember when you got close?
Yes.
And you wanted to jump? Well, the same thing will happen. That's the problem with aluminum wiring. It will arc and it'll move around. And eventually, if it comes loose where it's connected and there's a little bit of space there, you turn it on, it sparks because it's trying to jump. So that's the problem with aluminum wiring. If you have aluminum wiring, You do not have to replace all the wiring in your house. Let me dispel that right away. It's just where the connections are that you need to. That you can put a crimper on it. You can put some antioxidant on it. But that would be at your breaker box and at the outlets. But you wouldn't have to replace the whole outlet.
Hey, Preston, is the yeah. sign for that happening when you plug something into an outlet? Sometimes it sparks. Is that a signal that you could have aluminum? Have you ever noticed that when you plug
yeah.
something? Have you seen that? And it goes snap, you know, just.
Well, like, it could be that, or you could have a loose connection somewhere. And that, again, is like when it something's loose and it's trying to jump, you know. It could be a couple of different things. But definitely if you're sparking, you know, get an electrician out there. Don't mess around with electricity. I mean, the other thing that happens, Paul, is – you know, depending on when the house was built again, you know, every house up to the 1980s wasn't built for the amount of appliances, stereos, computer mm-hmm. equipment that we have today. You know, I had my first house was over there behind the Knife and Fork. It was those Irving homes. There's a bunch
oh, yeah.
of them around.
Yeah.
You know, built in 1957. Great house. Built in 1957. So when I turned the toaster oven and the microwave on, boy, that breaker would start humming because it just wasn't built for it. And, you know, what happens is breakers protect your house from catching on fire. It's
yeah.
when too much juice starts going through the line, that breaker will trip, and you want it to trip. That's what yeah. keeps your house from burning down. But
yeah.
Sometimes you got to get a new box because you got to update it to today's
cheap insurance, though, to get your from your house not burning down. All right. We've got some more to come with Preston Sandlin and Home Inspection Carolina. We've got his list, and I'll throw a few more things out in the multiple offer environment that you can do to win. So stay with us to show your real estate today here on News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison, your host. And we're glad you're spending Saturday with us because we're talking real estate. We love to do it here with Preston Sandlin with Home Inspection Carolina. And as you all know, every week I do this, you know, I play my guitar for you and I'm getting better. sometimes it sounds like a recording. I'm getting so good.
yeah.
Okay. All right. So, in the beginning of the show, Preston, I was talking a little bit about ways that I had a multiple offer situation and talked a little bit about experience and then talked about the coming soon and talked about when to put the house on the market and also an encouragement to sellers. When your house is in an open house weekend and it's gone out on a Saturday and it's going to be new to the market, go out of town. Take the dog, take the cats, take the gerbils, take the snakes, take your fish.
Please take the snakes.
Yeah. Go your iguanas. Go out of town, and in one case, monkey. Take your stuff and go out of town and come back.
Do that during the inspection, too.
Yeah, especially the monkey.
Yeah.
Go out of town. Let people see the house, unfettered. Unrestricted, leaving the lights on all day, Duke Power send you a thank you note. Just go out of town, all right, and let the house be shown. And, you know, in most cases, you get it over with in one weekend, right? You get all your offers, okay? Also, set a defined period for those offers to come in. Typically, in a house like this one this past weekend, we were in multiple offer before we even had it shown. We set a cutoff of Monday at noon and work together with the sellers to be prepared for that. All right. The other thing is, as an agent, don't forget to market the property. Don't forget to market the property. And don't forget to market the property. A sign in your yard with a high school picture on it is not marketing the property. Okay? Please? Okay. I'm not going to go into that any farther.
I've seen that on cards, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, is this your daughter? Oh.
Yeah. 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 Your hair seems much bluer. Okay. All right. So the next thing is, and this is me talking to you sellers and you buyers, communicate like crazy. Okay. If you've got a listing out there and your sellers are out of town and it's getting showings, you got to pick up the phone and you got to communicate like crazy. If you've got that buyer, call that listing agent. Get your answers. Don't put it off. Get your answers. Talk, 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 talk. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Because if you do that well up front and you get the answers you need and you try to consolidate those answers and you are very concise and your offer is communicated well, then that's a signal to the seller that you're going to have a good, solid transaction. And then do the work. Preston, this is going to include you. Preston, participation is needed here. Do the work. Call the agents and let them know you have the offer. Read through the offers. Create a summary for the seller. You call the lenders. You verify the funds. And, drum roll, Preston Sandlin, I ask, who is the home inspector that you will be using? Why in the world, Preston, would I do that?
To remind them to get a home inspection. but if you're the seller?
I'm the seller asking the buyer's agent, who are you going to have do the home inspection?
Well, you've got to coordinate with them when they can get in the house.
No. You're not going down the right path. Let me help.
Okay. All right.
It matters who the home inspector is as a result of the transaction. There are many people in your industry, just like mine, that do not know what the heck they're doing. And they can ruin a transaction that shouldn't be ruined.
Right.
We have people on our naughty list, Preston. And I'm not talking bad about your industry. I'm talking bad about relationships. There's people on the realtor naughty list, right?
Yeah.
But I need to know who the inspector is so that I've done hundreds and hundreds of home sales on both sides. And I have tons and tons of experience with people in your industry. Now, when it says it's Preston's company, that's easy. I got this. Yeah, okay, good. But there are others that I don't want them coming and inspecting my seller's house because I know it's going to turn out bad. And I just don't want to go through it. And so I tell my sellers, I want you to know, here's experience that I've had, and it can affect the offer, just like the lender, right?
Absolutely. I got something else I want to add, but I don't want to mess up your flow.
No, go. Flow away.
Well, also, a little bit back up, you know, I wanted to say this to potential buyers out there, that if part of their offer is putting down a high due diligence, which is kind of what's maybe called for in this market, we have something also we can work with buyers to do a walkthrough. While you're showing the house, we'll go look at the kitchen. Making me laugh, man. We'll go look at the attic and the crawl space. Basically, that 15, 20, 30 minutes you're showing the house, we're just going to go look for any major red flags. It's not a full inspection. It's called a walk and talk or a walkthrough consultation. So we tell you, you know, hey, there's no report, but did we see anything big? So that you feel your buyer feels more comfortable putting down a higher due diligence, which might win the day or make your offer stronger anyway.
Right. And a lot of times, Preston, on the seller side, you'll do what is called a pre-inspection for my seller.
Right.
So I can go, they've looked at it. The house is delicious. So make your offer.
And that'll take a lot of risk out of the buyer, so that you're probably going to get higher offers and higher due diligence.
Perfect. That is exactly right. That's perfect. So if you're a buyer, you've got the walk and talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a home inspection, but it's, you know, it's a sense of comfort that comes with higher due diligence, or the seller does a pre-inspection, which you just lay out on the table and go, hey, this home's ready to go. Do your own inspection, but we've been there.
Both things are designed to get more money for the house and more due diligence, which takes the risk out of it for everybody.
Yeah, because these days I see due diligence as even up to six figures.
Oof. And I've seen some high ones.
I have too. And, I mean, you got to, if you want to win, Sometimes that's what you got to do. So
yeah,
last,
not like the old days. Yeah. Not like the old days at all.
So last, to wrap up this subject, one of the other things that is to make sure when you're going through the offers, you don't just kind of look at the summary email they send. You actually go through the offer because there may be things in there that they don't actually divulge in the body of the email. Like, oh, they got to sell a house. It's a contingency. Oh, they're only putting 5% down. Oh, they're using down payment assistance. Oh, there's something about the offer in there. They asked for a piece of personal property they didn't happen to call out. So, the bottom line, lastly, more money isn't always better. More money isn't always better. And even though they say they don't care about the appraisal, they lie. Even though they know that they're asking over asking price, you want to make sure they have the cash to cover that difference. Right, Preston?
Yep, absolutely.
I love what you do, and we've got about a minute left. First of all, let's make sure we get your information out there, Preston. How do they reach you if they'd like you to come out and take a look at their house or learn more?
Sure. The best way is through our website, Paul, homeinspectioncarolina.com. And there's a lot of free resources on that website, checklists, just a ton of great information. You can get a sample report, inspection checklist, maintenance checklist, all that stuff. The website, I would say, first, homeinspectioncarolina.com. And secondly, the phone number is 704-542-6575.
704-542-6575. Preston Sandlin and Home Inspection Carolina, fantastic company. Love working with them. They're the only ones I work with. And I'm Paul Jamison. You can always reach us at 846-DONE, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamisonhomes.com. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Thanks for spending it with us. We'll talk to you next week. The show, Your Real Estate Today, are on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.